This podcast is offered by Wildflowers and Sangha. A Dharma Talk by Roshi Amy to SLR, Hollowell.
Good evening, everyone. As Joa said, this is the last Thursday evening of the year when we will share these moments together. And I the fact that it's the end of the year is double in the sense of on the calendar it says it's the end of the year, but actually nothing ends and nothing begins. It's just one continuous moment. So it's important to acknowledge the endings and the beginnings, and at the same time, nothing ends, nothing begins. So tonight, for the past few days, I've been thinking about a story that I heard, and I like to share stories with you. And I thought, when I said to myself, I heard this story and that I would share it with you, I thought of how the traditional Buddhist sutras all begin with, "Thus I have heard," or "Thus have I heard." And that's a very interesting point, that they begin like that. Someone heard this and is telling someone else, right? And this is what I try to do for us. And that's what, when we meet in interviews too, that's what you do. You tell me what you've heard within yourself, in the rest of the world, whatever, and then I respond. And we have an exchange about what you've heard. So the story that I heard recently took place in the United States, in the state of Minnesota, actually, where I come from, in a part of the state that is kind of not small towns and villages and not a big city. And at a fast food restaurant, actually it's called Dairy Queen. You know how in fast food restaurants they have drive-through windows? So you can be in your car and you order and then you drive up to the window and you get your order and you pay for it, right? So in this restaurant, an older man drove up to the window and he paid for his order. And then he said to the cashier, "I'd like to pay for the order of the person behind me, for the car behind me." And cashier said, "Okay, you sure?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I want to do that." So he did and left. And then when the next car arrived at the window, the cashier said, "The guy ahead of you paid for your meal." And the next person said, "Oh, well, okay, well, I'll pay for the person behind me." And the next person drove up. Same thing happened. And this went on all day, all the next day, and all the next day until the night. So almost three full days, 900 cars. And everyone paid for the car behind them. Sometimes it was just an ice cream. Sometimes it was a family and it was $50 for the meal, whatever, you know. And when it was the last person each evening, the cashier would say, would explain what had been going on and would say, you know, do you want to contribute? Do you want to participate in this chain? And the last person would say, yes, okay, I'll put, you know, I'll add $10 for the person who arrives, the first person who arrives tomorrow morning. And words spread on Facebook. And people started coming just so they could participate. And they did an extraordinary amount of business. Normally, they would not have had 900 cars in 2.5 days. That was not what the intention was in the beginning. It was just some guy who wanted to pay for the person behind him, who he didn't even know. It was just a nice gesture. So, and it ended because the last person didn't have enough money to put down, to leave money for the next morning. So it ended there. And it was a beautiful story of people giving to people they don't even know, and for no particular reason except just to give, to share, and to participate in something bigger than themselves, maybe, or something like that. So I thought, this is a really interesting story. And then when I thought about the sutras that start with "Thus I have heard," I thought I saw that in a bigger. So someone is hearing the sutra, has heard something, a teaching, and is sharing it with someone else. So I thought, we can all ask ourselves, who do we hear it from? What do we hear? We can say, who do we hear it from? It's a way of appreciating our teachers, you know, or appreciating the person in the car ahead of us who paid for our meal, who we don't even know and we will never see, you know, and we will have no way of thanking them, right? Or someone who does something that we don't like. What do we hear from them? What does that mean? What kind of teaching is that for us? So who do we hear it from? And then who do we share it with? So you hear the story. You hear the teaching. You hear the Dharma, whatever you want to call it. Who do you hear it from? And then who do you share it with? What do you share? How do you share it? With words? In a sense, silently, we could say we are all sharing this together. We come here, we meet in this Zoom Zendo, and we share it. We share our stories, everything that we were bringing with us to this evening, we share. And we are receiving what everyone shares, even though we don't know what it is that they're giving us. But they are here with their presence, their faces. You know, we open our screen and we see all these people. Some of them we know, some of them we don't know. Some of them we see all the time. Some of them we haven't seen for years. And yet, here we are, sharing. And by doing that, by passing on what you've received, it's like you keep the chain of cars going. You know, you keep the chain of paying for the meals going by sharing what you do. Or, you know, in Dharma terms, in Buddhist terms, we would say you keep the wheel, the Dharma wheel turning. We say the Buddha turns the Dharma wheel by teaching. And by sharing what you've received, you keep the wheel turning. You keep the chain, you keep the flow continuing. Right? Now, what is it that you share? You don't really know always, right? This is not like, I'm not saying you should go out and become an evangelist and preach the good word or something. That's not what I'm saying, right? What I'm saying is that, well, I guess what we could see it is, it's the power of bringing our continuous practice into our life. You know, you're making your life your practice, so that every moment is a moment of receiving some kind of teaching, hearing something, and also of sharing something, some kind of teaching. If everything is teaching, if everything is practice, if your whole life is your practice, then everything you say and do is teaching, and you're sharing it by just being it fully. And the image of the chain of cars at the fast food restaurant is very concrete, because I don't think very many times in my life I've been in one of those places, but I do know how it works, you know, and I know that I would be surprised if I drove up to the window and they told me that the person ahead of me had already paid for me. And I think I would be touched by that. And having received something like that and being touched by it, I would be more inclined to do it for the person behind me. And that's how it works always, right? If we are met with kindness, we are more inclined to react with kindness. If we are met with aggression and anger, we are more inclined to respond with aggression and anger. We know this, right? If someone is cuts in front of you in the line at the supermarket, that you could feel that as being an aggressive action, and you would, you know, be aggressive towards that person, maybe. You might step back and say, oh, that person is really in a hurry. Okay, fine, they can go ahead of me. Or that person is sick or old and doesn't want to wait very long, so I'll let them go ahead of me. I mean, you can react in different ways. Usually if someone is aggressive with us, our first reaction is aggressive. And if someone is kind, our first reaction is usually kind. And this is how the karmic chain works, right? You know, we talk about karma. Or like we've been saying, you know, like Joel was saying the other day about cultivating, what you want to cultivate. So if you cultivate kindness, kindness will grow. If you cultivate anger, anger will grow. You know, if you shine sunlight and take care of plants and put water on them, they will grow. Generally, I'm not so good with plants myself, but that's usually what happens. But if you don't water it, if you don't take care of it, if you don't shine light on it, it won't grow. It's pretty logical, right? We can understand that. And so the same thing is true with our lives. So if you choose to cultivate your life as your practice, that will grow. And there will be consequences to that. And your life will bloom in a way that it would not have otherwise. And what you share with others is different than if you didn't make your life your practice. And I'm not making a judgment here. This is not a I'm not laying down a thing that this is better than that. If you plant seeds for tomatoes, tomatoes will grow. If you plant seeds for corn, corn will grow. That's just how it is, right? If I put tea in this cup, I will drink tea. If I put water in this cup, I'll drink water. It's just how things are, right? So thus I have heard. And we can also see it as, so I started out by saying, so who do you hear it from? And so I, you know, if I take myself, I initially heard it from my teacher, right? And so I had deep appreciation for my teacher and gratitude and love for my teacher. And yet really what, and my teacher is grateful for that, but really what she wants for all of us, for all of her students, she asks the question of, well, who do you share it with? Okay, you've received this, and who do you share it with? What do you do with it? Not that all of her students become teachers. You know, she's been teaching for, you know, probably almost 40 years, and she has five successors. There are only five people among her students who teach. Just because that's what their vocation is. You know, it's not that that's better than the people who don't teach, just that's what their vocation is. You know, she probably has, I don't know, five doctors among her students, or more, I don't know. She has parents among her students. She has people who don't have children among her students. It's just the singularity of each student, right, and their path. But what she wants for all of them is to bring it into their lives, this practice, and to acknowledge who you hear it from and who you share it with, and what it is that you hear and what it is that you share. Now, for me, as a teacher, that's the same thing. For me, that's what I want for my students, that they make this their life. That, you know, like the heart of your life, the heart of your practice is the same thing. Whatever you do, whatever your job is, whatever your family situation is, whatever country you live in, whatever your age, whatever you do for the holidays, I guess that's what I share with you today as our end of the year holiday message is, appreciate your life as it is and see it as this wonderful field as we say in French, bienfait, of benevolence. You know, it's this field of goodness and wholeness and fullness and beauty, even in these dark times, because we can't ignore that it's dark times. It's a dark moment, right, for all of us. The light, you know, we're getting to the deepest darkness of the year, right? The winter solstice, which is when it's really dark, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. Hugo's not with us. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's different. But so outside, it's dark. The news around us is not not great, you know, in the sense that people are sick. We don't know where that is going. The consequences of that are dire. For some people, tragic, not only losing their lives, but losing their livelihoods and being alone and losing their homes and all kinds of being hungry, all kinds of things. And yet, when I hear a story like this of the fast food restaurant and people paying for the person behind them, that gives me such great hope, you know, that especially in this country, America, which is just such a terrible place at the moment, you know, it's going through such a difficult moment in terms of the COVID, but also in terms of just the divisiveness of the people. And to hear a story like this in a place that it's very possible those people voted for Trump, you know, it's that kind of community, which, you know, I could have a strong judgment on and saying, oh, well, those people aren't capable of something like this. But they are. They are. They paid for their neighbor's lunch. They paid for someone's meal who they don't even know. And that's greatly inspiring. It's a good Christmas tale, just to stay in the Christian spirit, as we say. Another, which is a very brief one, someone, wife, the widow of Bernie Glassman, who was one of my teachers, Eve Marco, who is also a Zen teacher in the United States, has been working with immigrant families, Mexican, primarily Mexican, in Massachusetts in the United States, in a rural area, and where she lives. And a lot of these people don't have papers, you know, they don't have a regular situation. And so they have jobs that, you know, a lot of seasonal workers that work in fields and agriculture, but undercover, right? They're not legal. Or work in places that have been closed because of the pandemic, and therefore don't have any income and can't get any benefits from the government because they're illegal. And often they live, like several families live together in a small space. And some of them also work as essential workers. So they work in supermarkets or cleaning floors in hospitals or fast food restaurants, things like this, where they are exposed to the virus as well. And then they live in these places where, you know, 20 people live together in a small space. The children couldn't be in school, but they don't have access to computers to help them to stay online for the schools and things like this. The parents often don't read and write or speak English very well, so for the kids it's hard. So she's been working with some other people and started by buying gift cards. You know, you can get gift cards at like a supermarket or at a big discount store, like, I don't know what the equivalent would be in Europe, Carrefour or something, you know, where you can buy all kinds of things, clothing and everything. And she started doing this with her own money, buying these gift cards and giving them to this Mexican woman who is legal and has been acting for the community. And then they started meeting, they would set up a meeting point and the families would come and they would give them the cards. And then the families started saying what they needed. So making lists of what they needed. Among them were computers for the kids, internet access for the kids, clothing, food, Some people needed help paying their rent. Just think, all kinds of things. So Eve, who has a blog and which I follow, started asking for donations for people who read her blog, and set up an account for that. You could send her money or you could send her a check. And then she started at Christmas time. She set up a wish list on Amazon, and you could go to Amazon and pick out a gift for a kid who you don't know and order the gift for the kid, and then she would distribute it. And she's had thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that have come in from around the world, from people who read her blog and who have contributed to people they don't even know. And so benefiting, they managed to get all of the kids who needed them computers, and to get them pay for internet connections. And when it was nice weather in the summertime and in the spring and the fall, the Mexican woman she's working with would meet the kids who needed it in a park and help them with their homework because their parents couldn't do it. And there were other volunteers who started doing that too. I just say this is an example of how we can make a difference, how we can share what we've received. You don't even have to do it on this kind of scale. You know, you can just see if your neighbor needs something. You can call your mother who you don't talk to very often. You can wash the dishes that you wish your roommate would have washed. Or I don't know, you know, there's lots of things you can do. It's actually just about a way that you move in life and the way that you experience the moment and how you interact with the moment and the people in it who are there with you. And you can ask yourself the question always, you know, who do you hear it from and who do you share it with? So it, that's up to you to define. And the who and the what, you know, you can pet your cat. I wish I had a cat to pet, but I will have a cat to pet, right? Thanks to all of you. So, keep the wheel turning. Yeah. It depends on each one of us. And by showing up and sitting online with us, you're keeping the wheel turning. It makes a difference. So I'll stop there with my words of what I'm sharing in this way, what I have heard. And I'd like to hear what you've heard, what you want to share, if anything, or if you want to ask questions or something. Joel?
Yes, thank you so much. I just want to, what you said reminded me of what you've said very often, meet the people where they are, which is something that your teacher said. Mm. And as we're closing this year, I just really want to thank everybody for the companionship and the friendship of our meetings. It has been an extraordinary year for us. And because I mean, tonight we're 15. When I think of when we were meeting in a physical place in Boulevard Saint-Antoine, at most we were, what, 4 or 5? And only people who lived in Paris, and it's absolutely fantastic, and it helped me so much, and it sustained the practice of everyone, I think. Thank you so much for that, and so this week or last week, I think, we started in the morning singing the verse of the Kesa, which is what is written on the back of the Rakusu, on top of, at the end of the, at the end of the period. And I realized for the first time, and I think I realized it because it's never sung within the same unit. I've realized that the last line of the verse of the Kesa, which is saving all sentient beings, actually echoes the first line of the four vows, which is sentient beings are numberless, I vow to save them. And I had never heard it that way. So this is what I've heard this week.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Christine?
It reminds me of an experiment. It was done in the US too, and it was Christmas cards that they sent to people. Some people sent to people they didn't know Christmas cards with good wishes for have a happy Christmas and happy new year. And most of the cards have been returned, although the people didn't know the ones that they received wishes from. But it's it was in a I don't know in which what they wanted to see, but it had to do something with reciprocity, you know, to see how many people would respond, and it was way beyond half of them. I don't know the number, if it was 70% or even 90%, but most of the people who received a card sent one even though they didn't know the person that sent them the card.
Right. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
It's similar to the buying someone's meal. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really astonishing that in a fast food restaurant, something like that is possible, you know? For me, it's often those who then eat the fast food and then throw their trash on the road. It's a little, because you often see this kind of trash along the roads. So that's really surprising. Yeah. And to say a word to the practice, it was really a nice opportunity to reconnect a little bit, because normally on Thursday nights I'm singing with my choral. Thanks to COVID, I don't sing anymore, so I can be here. And we can sit much more easily together online, because you don't have to go anywhere. So yeah, I really appreciate the sitting together and meeting, even if it's online. Thank you.
Thank you. Filipa.
Thank you, Amy Hoshi. I'm thinking about the question of who do you hear it from, and when you said it the first time, it came that I'm not hearing it from me often enough, I think. So I'm trying to hear from me more. And this is new and interesting to see that I don't hear from me enough, maybe. So So I'll pay attention and try to hear from me more.
Very good.
Yeah. So thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, now that's an interesting one, huh? Because do we listen to ourselves? No. So,
hello everyone. I'm not so good with words, and it makes me not easy to speak in English. I hear the words and the ideas, and it's not easy for me spontane words or to explain in English what so many times I think I'm very grateful to hear the things we speak here in the Zoom Zendo. I'm very grateful and I want to participate, but it's not easy for me. The next day I think, I have something to say, but I didn't say it. many times. And one thing I want to explain today, it's when I'm here, it's always because I'm very grateful for all of you. And and it's my little participation. Also, when I don't bring words every time, every day, and I'm here, and I'm very, very grateful. Very grateful.
Thank you. Thank you. And that too is a very good point that. We don't have to share it with words, you know. It's just being here is what it is, really. Being fully present and sharing that with each other. You know, we know in retreats, it's a silent retreat. We don't talk, theoretically. And we share really deep, intimate moments with each other. We don't even know people's last names. We don't know what they do in life. And yet we know deeply, we've shared something very deep with those people, not even speaking. And that's why I'm glad to hear what you say, Sue, because you don't need to speak. I understand the feeling of thinking the next day that what you would like to have said. And I also understand not being able to say it as you would like to in English, and who are forced to speak my language. I'm grateful for that.
Yes. Many times I benefit so much from others. They trust to give words and I think it's not yeah I must try. I must try sometimes because it's not a fair change if you recite so much. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Well,
you're muted, Joan.
Yes, thank you. I heard it from myself, how grateful I am for especially the sitting in the mornings. Sometimes people will thank me for being here, sitting, but it's actually and I'm not even sure. I think sometimes I don't receive that fully when people say thank you. But even also many times I'm not fully aware of how grateful I am for them, for the people who come. So in a way, I also not always hear myself. I don't fully recognize how grateful people are. And sometimes I also don't fully recognize how grateful I am. Yeah. So thank you to each one of you. And also thank you, Joa, for helping me so many again and again to help me see that. I'm sure you don't know what I'm talking about, but this is what I feel, again and again. Because we share, maybe because we share that, we've been sharing that experience of the mornings. Many times you've helped me hear myself being grateful, helping me to see how grateful I am, and also to see how much people are grateful also. Thank you.
Well, it's great to hear everyone, and thus I've heard. Thank you. Debbie?
I hesitate to talk because I've been in an intense period of insomnia for the last month or so, and I had a little nap during part of the Dhamma talk. So I was there for the beginning, and actually the opening story of people paying for the person behind them I think that's when I fell asleep. There was something very relaxing about it. If the world were really like that, there would be no reason to ever be afraid of anything, really. If you could count on the person ahead of you paying for your highway toll, or your McDonald's or whatever, you'd be safe forever. So I don't want to end the year without joining all of you to say how much this sitting has been wonderful, really. I mean, I sat by myself before and thought I was having a good time, but there's no comparison, really. It's so, I don't know, it's just the best way to start the day. So thank you all, the ones that have put it in place and the ones that are there every day. And I hope that someday we won't be in COVID, but I hope that we'll always do this. Because, you know, you all are over an hour away from you. This is all I have to do is get breakfast and come in and sit down. Fabulous. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. It's true. What a different world it would be, huh? And what a different world it is now that we're connected by Zoom too. You know? So there's that lining of that silver lining in this cloud of COVID that has brought, you know, made this possible. I too hope that it continues, you know, in one way or another. Actually, you know, next week we're still sitting in the morning 2 days a week in the coming weeks, so it's not over completely. And of course, we will start up in January in the same way. So, yeah. And actually, you know, the world is that place. We say it would be a wonderful place if people were doing that, but it is that is the world. It is that. It's just that we focus so much on the other stuff. You know, our attention is attracted to all of the bad stories. Bad in the sense of, you know, things that are not, that are divisive and that are not whole, don't make us whole and don't redeem, you know, our faith in humanity. Our attention is attracted to the stuff that is destructive and divisive. But it's all one big catastrophe, so. One continuous mistake, as we say, or life is, our whole life is continuous practice too. So, yeah. Can we receive it all and hold it? So, you know, I guess we'll stop there. And I was going to remind you about next week and the following week that Tuesday and Wednesday mornings we'll be sitting. 8:30 Paris time, 7:30 Portugal and UK time. I'm looking forward to that myself. I will be present, which I'm not present normally during the week. I leave it to Joa and João, but I will be participating in this because I'm on holiday. I won't have interviews, as most of you know. So, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again on Thursday, the January 7th, for this meeting. And may you all be well and safe, and to your families too.